Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. We are live. It is Monday. I didn't hear nothing you said. It is Friday. Friday, September the 1st. I'm going to get my dates right. September 1st, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we got a show. This gnat is still alive. I'm gonna, in Jesus' name, y'all come get this gnat. I've been trying to kill him for three days. I've been trying to kill him. Anyway, as always, it's your boy, your host, Ms. Dana L. King. And guess who's in the studio with your boy? Guess who's in the studio with your boy? It's the one, the only, according to her, my twin. I'm going to talk to my mama. Yeah. But my twin, the one, the only, Mr. We ain't had no color purple mama.
No, he's Sadilly now, y'all. I'm not twin. I'm his triplet. I'm probably.
Okay. No, trust me, they know. If there was more than one of me, they would have put one of us down a long time ago. They were like, the world couldn't handle it. Anyway, the one, the only, my good friend, Pastor Angela Johnson. Y'all know her from one sister to another. And watch this. I'm gonna try to get the name of her church right. I don't. Let me see. Greater Love. Greater Works.
Outreach.
See that?
International.
See, I was gonna put some faith in there.
Yeah, Greater Love.
And all kind of stuff. I was gonna put some extra. That ain't it. That.
You know what? That's one name that I know we heard God say. Greater Love.
You right.
Greater Work.
Because y'all couldn't have came up with that by yourself. Y'all wouldn't
just call us Greater Love, Greater Work. That's okay.
If y'all ever get some, you tell the bishop.
And man, he good at giving folk names.
You tell Pastor Rob.
So when y'all hear
I know
names and titles,
right.
I didn't ask for any of this. I'll be Angie.
Y'all know Pastor Rob. You tell Pastor Rob, if y'all ever get y'all some choir roll, that's too many letters.
Yes, it is. GLGWOI. Already tested.
Y'all gonna spend an extra $50 on the letters.
Just the letters.
On the embroidering over there. That's can't even deal with.
Oh my God.
Anyway, y'all, it's Praise Break Friday. We got an awesome show for you today. It's gonna be good. Today's topic of conversation, the article is real good. How to get past the post Sunday blues. How to get, that is not the title of today's show, now that I think about it. That is not the title. I'm like, who put that in there? Why is that in there? I did that. How to coach your congregation to be worshipers.
Okay.
That's the title.
Okay.
What
does it say
up there?
It says,
I don't know how that happened. Why we got two separate sets of titles going on? Y'all pray for me.
Okay.
I was doing it. I don't know what. I can't even blame nobody but myself. How that happened, though? Anyway, so yeah, the topic of today's show is, How is how to coach your congregation to be worshipers. That was last week's show. Y'all pray for me. Anyway, if you can get on, I tagged everybody in it. We are live everywhere. So let me get y'all to run down how you can be a part of the show. If you're listening already on the line, simply push 1. You can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. You can call in and be a part of today's show. If you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet the show @TTLO radio. Again, you can tweet the show @TTLO radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us, the live streams are up and running. Let me make sure before I open my mouth. Yeah, live stream. Ustream is up. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. We would love to hear from you, to all of our Ustream watchers. Definitely love y'all. And then Facebook Live, of course. Facebook Live is up and running. Y'all come on in. Come on. See, Ed's on something else. Ed's always on something else. See, we got
to
feed up, and she's on something else. You just trying what? What you trying? What you trying?
Make a connection.
You can.
Okay.
I hooked you into our feed, so your people will already be on our feed.
Oh, okay.
See, she's
but
she doing something else.
I don't need any of that.
Tanya. Well, Angela.
What's your name today? I will obey.
No, sister, go to the video though, so you can like, and then go to the this live feed, and then anyway, email the show takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. You can find us there. Absolutely. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast by simply going to any of your iTunes, or you can just Google the show and you can get our podcast that way. It's real easy, real simple to do. We'd love to hear from you that way. Let me help her out. Angela, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Because she's technically challenged, y'all. Y'all pray for it.
I was telling Dana on my way in today, nothing is connecting. I think it has something to do with the fact that my brother made me drive opposite of this building. And it just totally messed me up because
who told you to do that?
Yeah, he made me drive. My brother made me drop him off at his granddaughter's house before I came here today, which was right off Oak Park Avenue. And it's not that I'm discombobulated or anything. It's just that nothing wanted to connect once I got from over there to over here.
Oh,
I thought that was a little odd. And then when I got to, is that street out there Maple? No, that's Pine.
Central, where you parked at.
Right, Central. And
Central.
Pine. Okay, so when I get to Central,
Pine,
the light.
I don't know.
I don't remember that Pine is a one-way street. I don't know why I didn't remember.
How was you on Pine though?
I wasn't on Pine. I was on Central.
Central is a two-way.
Right.
I
was on Central making a turn where the church is, right there on the corner.
Is that Central and Madison?
Yes, it is. Madison and Central.
Y'all help us, Lord. Help us today.
But listen.
Okay.
So I'm on my way down to the building. Where I parked. You know, I parked on Central.
You parked right in front of the church.
Yes, I did.
Right.
But what's the side street?
That side street right back. You were going to try to turn right on the side.
Right.
That's Fulton.
Fulton.
It's a one-way going west.
And I didn't know that you could turn. So,
because you was going to try to come in the lot.
Exactly.
So you just should have kept on going around.
So
this
guy started blowing at me.
Oh, because you was trying.
And that just disturbed my entire spirit. So I'm going to need you all to pray for me. Somebody call my name out. Coming on a Honda. All that. I need you to do all that
all
for me today.
All this extra stuff on your phone? What is just clean?
Making it do all kinds of stuff. I
just got the phone with my mama about issues with her phone. And I got this Samsung. And I can't. Let me tell y'all something about Samsung phone. It ain't.
I know.
Because she got one. It's my fault. I bought it for her. But I can't stand it. I really can't. And yours is really making me feel some kind of way right now. Can I just get to the. There we go. Back to the home screen.
Lord have mercy.
Now, where is your Facebook app? That's all I want to know. Find the Facebook app for me, please. Because I can't work with that kind of stuff. Anyway.
It's a real show.
How you been? What's going on with your stuff? Because
I'm really, really doing. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna shut my phone down and start
and restart. Okay, do that for us.
And so I'm doing really, really well.
Couple things. You did. Let's talk about it. There's been some stuff going on since last time you've been here.
Wow,
you guys had your big outreach deal.
Yeah. Youth explosion. God's Elite Youth Explosion 2017. It was my first time. Dana.
That's the whole. Wait a minute, I'm getting the back to school, all that thing. Okay, got you. Right.
And I just saw the net. Mm-hmm. But God's Elite Youth Explosion, we did it on July the 29th, and we were able to service about 185 youth and their parents. We were able to feed the parents and get them pumped up. You all, I'm telling you all, we started out, of course, I think you remember when I sat here with yourself and Pastor Parks, and I said, it's amazing. We had a grant to come across our desk, and it wanted churches and orgs like us to get connected and do this type of deal. So guess what? We got a grant writer in our church. We said, look, let's go for it. Well, we were going to collaborate with other organizations, and they turned us down and gave the money to the people who had the money. Now, I know we also said that same day when I sat here with you guys, you were saying, well, that's how they do. You have to be well-established. Well, when you get through bumping them gums, I am well-established. I've been doing this type of thing for years. Here was my thing, though. I got a little disgusted, and I said, God, okay, we don't have money to do this, but you told me to do it. Dana, not one time, Elder, has he ever instructed me to do anything, and he did not make sure that I was not brought to an open shame, my husband and I.
Wow.
So I decided, I said, God, what do? He said, you pursue. You go forward, and you make sure that you get done what I told you to do, because I never told you you were going to be doing it. I told you to do it.
Wow.
So he used us as vessels. But fast forwarding, God enabled us to minister and meet the needs of 185 students and their parents, so we were able to give out extra bags.
Mm-hmm.
How about Dana, my son, the name of the company, his own company is called Congress Parkway Creatives LLC. And
okay.
So my son,
okay.
Mama, I'm going to be your first donor. And he donated us 150 custom-made knapsacks that our youth were able to grab. And then I had
awesome.
Whoops, Women Helping Others Overcome Personal Struggles to come along and say, hey, Angie, we heard that you need about 50 more. We're going to give you 60. So they gave it. We had more than enough. And then people like the executive director of TTLO yourself,
mm-hmm.
and anytime something comes from her, mm-hmm. I say it's coming from TTLO, mm-hmm. they bought paper and supplies
mm-hmm.
for our youth. And can I tell you all something? I'm not one of these people that put stuff in my bag and take it home. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all still stealing the pens from your job. I don't need a pen. I wanted to be able to give to those youth. Dana, we probably had 500 hot dogs. I thought the kids were going to eat all that. They didn't. Hot dogs. We had 1,000 freeze pops donated to us.
Mm-hmm.
1,000. We had 200 and 300 butter cookies homemade from Esther's Kitchen that was donated to us, one of the folks I interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So we had every single thing we needed. God met our needs. And can I tell you all something? We still getting supplies because we want now to be able, and we hooked up with World Vision.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able now to bag up things and call in people that really need it. And we want to do one of these Dana L. Kings on them. We want to go down to the Lower Wacker Drive,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be able to deliver some blankets and some pillows
mm-hmm.
to our guys down there on Lower Wacker.
Okay.
Because
okay.
we know that they used
get
to be
out
young
there early.
Too.
Yeah.
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 So we're Dana, we want Greater Love, Greater Works org.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why our name is so long.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be Greater Love, Greater Works, Church of God in Christ. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We are now Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach because we wanted to change the tone of our church. It's not about an organization. God bless you all that are Kojic. We love you. That's my husband's background. I'm from the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
Baptist Kojic Pentecost.
Right. All that. Right.
But we wanted to make sure we met needs. And so our church is going to be a fully functional church. You said something recently on one of your shows. You
mm-hmm.
said it's all right to come and buck and shout.
Yeah.
But when you get done bucking and shouting, my stomach is still touching my back
exactly.
because I'm hungry.
Exactly.
We want to be that church. And so God has blessed us, Dana, after the God's Elite Youth event.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to do a two-day. Bafella Teen Girls was one of the groups that came and did workshops.
Okay.
We're getting ready to do a two-day retreat right there at our church. Remember back in the day when we were younger?
Yeah.
We could do stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But we're getting ready to do it
wow.
at our church. And we only have about 50 slots, but we're taking it. It's absolutely free. I'm making chili for the girls Friday night.
Here's a question. Do churches still have – I remember back in the day when I was over the youth here at this church, and I'm talking back in the late 90s and early 2000s,
uh-huh.
Churches around the city were having these lockdown and lock-in events.
Do they still do them?
Yeah.
Back in the John Hanna days.
Yeah,
kind of
Pastor Meeks.
Yeah,
because I used to take – I took the kids from here to Salem.
Wow.
Old Salem.
Wow.
Before
do you
they,
know,
yeah.
I don't know. All I can say is this right here. I believe that people are allowing – negative culture
mm-hmm.
to change
mm-hmm.
what you're doing, what you aspire to do in your church. And to me, you can't do that.
Right.
At the end of the day, they can talk about me all they want.
Mm-hmm.
No, our church isn't on the west side of Chicago. But guess what? I'm homebred west side of Chicago.
Right,
I'm
right.
from Congress and Laverne. I used to work at the drugstore on Cicero and Congress. Come on. When we were giving out Hopple Dane and beans. Come on here.
What?
All kind of craziness. Right. Rexall. Come on.
Oh,
I
Lord.
Wanted to be a pharmacist.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm not a pharmacist today. My son is, but my son is a pharmacy tech. But
mm-hmm.
how about, so we're allowing some of the bad culture to kind of dictate to the good culture,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't be doing that. We asked Bafella Girls Group, what can we do for you? She didn't charge us a fee
mm-hmm.
to facilitate mm-hmm. the workshop.
Okay.
So we said, what can we do for you? She said, Angela, Pastor Angie, if you and Pastor Rob can connect with us and be our wisdom corner for this today,
mm-hmm.
we would love it. And would you all help us to get the parents involved and get them to donate items for the eat for Friday, because they're going to be there Friday night. I was like, please, piece of cake. I'm cooking Friday night for them. Somebody else is cooking Saturday morning. Then we're going to cook again Sunday morning, because these girls are going to be leaving our church when we come in for Sunday morning service on Sunday morning. They're going to be there 2 days, and we only have 50 slots.
That's awesome. And you're doing it for girls.
We're doing all
that's,
girls. 10
that's,
girls
that's awesome.
From 14 to 21.
That's awesome. That's 14. That's a good That's good.
Yep.
That's,
so we're excited. Good. I tell you, that's where my heart is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you heard me say this before. When we did the youth, we did a youth rally in May, and you came over to our church.
Yeah.
Right before the youth event.
Mm-hmm.
But something I quoted, I got it from the woman who used to bring us over here. Her name was Mrs. McCullough from Greater Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away, but she said, "I can't do everything,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I can do something.
Mm-hmm.
That I can do,
mm-hmm.
I will do." And so that's where I am.
Mm.
Y'all can do all that talking all you want. See, Joe Osteen don't bother me because guess what? I'm going to do what I can do. And I'm going to try to do it with the spirit behind it
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spirit of I want it to be done in excellence. That's all I'm saying.
Amen. Amen. I am. Yes, I'm still setting up your phone over here.
Yes, sir.
The question. So you're doing this with you can hear me? You good?
Yeah.
You're doing this for. How do you think that will impact? Are we what? Talk about what some of the stuff that's going to be like part of the process of what we're going to be, what those young women will experience.
Oh my God!
When is it again?
It's going to be October 20th.
So you got some time to still.
Uh huh.
Okay.
October
okay.
20th through the 22nd.
Okay.
Our director of Farfella Girls. Y'all need to get this sister to come over. I met her at the Pain to Power conference, and
mm-hmm.
and check this out. This sister is so anointed and called to do what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She had never ministered to grown women before.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Angela Denise Morgan, myself, Apostle Angela Thickview,
mm-hmm.
Some of us, Lori Ann Campbell,
mm-hmm.
all of us were there, and she ministered to us about some stuff in our lives
mm-hmm.
and broke us down and had us all partnered up with. Listen, so the premise of what she ministered to us was sometimes we don't need our little girlfriends or our little friends to do a bunch of talking,
mm-hmm.
but just listen to me.
Mm.
I've got some things going on in my heart.
Okay.
I know that you're the one in our group that goes to church. I know that you're the one that goes to Bible class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go as much as I should. Can we just sit down and talk? She was just instructing us about how God at times calls us to just sit on my lap and
mm-hmm.
just empty out. And then when you get done emptying out, I want you to chill
because mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to minister back to you. And so one of the things she's going to be doing that day, Lauren Tiffany, is she's going to be ministering to the girls about pulling off masks,
mm-hmm.
about not feeling like you have to be under any pressures to be the girl shaking her tail on the video.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
All pumped up with your nasty thong on.
Wow.
No, because real women don't rock like that. See, at the end of the day, I hear a bunch of preachers say, I'm not going to change my message. You know, it's Jesus in the morning. And if you don't do, you know, the way you're supposed to do, then you're going to go to hell. You're exactly right about some of that. It's just that your presentation is a little whack. But here's the thing. I've learned that the word of God says it this way, Dane. It says that he that winneth souls
mm-hmm.
is wise. And what exactly does that mean in today's 21st century church?
Okay.
Or how does that look? That means that maybe we were going with the suit and the tie every Sunday before.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, Dana, it's all right to rock like you're rocking today.
Mm.
Why? Because there's always going to be a group of young men
yep.
who can't do a suit and tie. I remember back in the day, check this out, and we've heard some big wigs get
mm-hmm.
on the
mm-hmm.
on Periscope and some other media platforms,
mm-hmm.
and y'all talked about us who don't do sockets. I'm a first lady / pastor, whatever you want to call me. I'm an elder of the church, and there's several things I don't do in the summer, okay? I'm not willing... Huh? I'm not willing to get hot
uh-huh.
at church, so
right.
I can really be a bother.
Uh-huh.
Just to feed your doggone ego, or just to feed that you think you're always right about everything. And I don't want y'all. I want y'all to not misunderstand me, because this is what we're going to be teaching the teen girls. Should I be walking around and everything is jiggling?
Mm.
Absolutely not. You are not Jello. Everything I teach, you know, my daughter is much, much smaller than I am, but I remember being my daughter's size, and I always had on help. I have on help in
mm-hmm.
the summertime in Puerto Rico. I've been at all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had on help. So, girls, we got to wear the help. But telling me I got to do a stocking, because Okay, I'm not doing no stockings. My toes are out right now, and I may show my toes up there on the platform while I'm singing praise and worship. You know, back in the day, we couldn't even wear a toe-out shoe. At any rate, we're going to be teaching girls October 20th through the 22nd. We're going to teach you how to mind your godly manners. We're going to also share with you how being saved and born again, filled with God's Spirit,
your
is not whack.
But your girl.
Don't say no name.
Juanita Bynum said.
Oh, God.
Y'all shouldn't be.
Y'all heard me say. I'm just my disclaimer.
Y'all, your girl, Juanita Bynum said. Don't you be up there with your legs all shiny and greasy with your heels on.
She did.
With your tassels on your shoes.
Now, me on the other hand.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Your girl, Juanita.
But me on the other hand.
Juanita, prophetess.
Oh my God!
Well,
but me on the other hand, because for y'all enough being run said, I said nothing. Me on the other hand, but me on the other hand, I probably would do a longer maxi type dress when I don't have on stockings. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Because I got a couple of.
I don't know the difference from a maxi. From a
I got a maxi
dress
on today, Jay. Don't on it. It's a longer situation. Oh my God.
Go ahead. Whatever.
My husband don't even.
A maxi.
Yeah.
What? Okay, anyway.
A maxi dress is a little bit longer,
okay,
you know,
okay.
Da da da.
All right.
But so I would do a little longer dress. You
uh-huh.
know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Here's our thing, okay? Yes, the Bible talks about not allowing these liberties that we have to cause our brothers. And when it says brothers in this resolve, I believe it is talking
right.
about men and men with wounds, which are women.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow it to allow our brothers to fall. So, of course, I'm not going to go all way out there because I'm at the end of the day, I don't want you to. Hey, y'all know what? I think we should all the ministers need to go back to robes. As a matter of fact. Now, y'all write that down. I said that
you need to go back
to robes.
Show over.
You understand?
It. Can't do it.
And that's okay.
I can't.
But you know what? Do you know why I say that, Dana?
I understand it. I have no problem with robes.
And do you know why I say
go
we
ahead.
Need to go back to robes?
Because the dudes is up there with these super tight pants and stuff.
Oh.
I knew that's where you were going.
Huh? And I get tired of looking at folks' jewels.
Well,
I can't. Now, let's tell the truth and shame the devil. I can't. My mind. Any women out there that are real women? I want to hear you saying Jesus. I want to hear you speaking tongue and that you the apostolic apostle. You apocalypse, you all that. But look, somebody say thumbs up. But I can't do that because your pants are so doggone tight. The women are doing
help
the men
us.
And the men are
help
doing
us.
The women's role.
Help
good
us.
God from Zion.
Help
somebody
us.
Help me. Look, help me say that. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't. I'm I'm trying to.
Look, Marissa say amen to robes.
You know
thank
what?
You, Marissa.
You know what?
Put the robes on.
I don't have a problem with it. I think if your church has proper ventilation, like here in the wintertime, and depending on how we got the heat set up, I'm okay with putting the robe on.
Okay.
On what, every now and then. But in the summertime, don't come tell me about that. That first of all, unless we're going to get a better quality of robe.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's this issue that I have. I have I'm allergic.
Wow, to certain.
To them twins.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I can't. I feel some kind of way when it comes to Polly and Esther. They don't treat me right.
Polly
I don't. They're not friends of mine. They don't act right. They don't. When they come by to visit, I start itching.
So does that robe have to be Polly and Esther?
Well, if you're trying to get one, here's the problem. When you're getting robes in a church with multiple ministers,
you think
everybody has
to be
unison? Everybody has to have the same.
Okay.
That's the mindset.
Okay.
That everybody has to have the same robe on. So you kind of have to keep it at a certain dollar amount unless the church is buying them.
Okay.
But if everybody's responsible for buying their own robe, then and you say, well, we got to pick out one that everybody can afford.
Right.
Because
Polynesta is not the way.
No, the problem is they don't breathe.
Jesus.
See,
and they smell
and
the
they,
same.
And they
even
all,
after
they,
24
they
years.
Smell, they smell, you go get them clean, they rough.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
it's not a breathable type material.
But I tell you, some of these folk, they need on the road.
Now, they do. And my pastor's big deal was he was like, I don't want all y'all up here looking like a bag of Skittles.
Wow.
That's what he used to say.
Wow.
He said, and we do have some people who come in, you know, with the bright orange suit.
Check it.
Bright
check
orange.
It.
Lime.
Come on.
Lime
green.
Green
tie. Come on.
Hot.
Yes, they will.
Fuchsia. No, not tie. The whole suit.
The whole suit.
Pink.
That's
so
what
he said,
sin
y'all,
God.
He said, y'all put on some robes. So we got so he compromised. So he compromised and said, first Sunday. That's what he said. He said, first Sunday we wear robes because of communion and all of that stuff.
Now, do you all do that currently?
We still do. We still put on robes first Sunday. Not my preference, but we still do it first Sunday.
So you do have a robe.
I have two. I had a black one and a white one.
Now, that's cool.
We wear black in the fall. Like, I think this coming Sunday. I don't know about this Sunday because we have a guest minister. And nobody has told him about that. So we should not be up there in robes and he up there in a suit.
Right.
So I think that's just me. Because otherwise, he's going to look weird. So I think, as long as y'all got his first Sunday in September, so we should be back in black suits, I think. Well, wait a minute. Labor Day is Monday, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe the following first Sunday, they're still going to come in here with their white on, looking like,
Now, do y'all do a phone tree to kind of find out what everybody is doing?
Mm-mm.
You don't?
Mm-mm. No. The rule is, first Sunday,
you automatically know.
You know you in the fall, you're in black. Black suits. That's the rule here.
Wow.
In the spring or whatever, I think it's like May.
You start with the white.
They started with the white. The white is gone now because that was the Pastor Ray Williams deal, the white suits. So that's gone now. And praise God that white suit.
Did you say
situation.
A white suit?
White.
Not
suit.
A white robe.
No, white.
I don't want to see certain African American men in no white suit. Please.
Who you trying to tell?
Huh?
I don't.
What you say, Marissa? Speak, Pastor Johnson.
I'm just saying, ain't nobody trying to. I was never a fan of the white suit. Oh, here it locked on. Yeah, I was never a fan of the white suit.
Jesus, help us.
I just never was. So let me see. It should be good now, though. And I took that Just Clean mess off of here because that wasn't no.
Uh-oh,
that,
y'all know
that,
this
that
is the real show.
That was
I told y'all this is the real show.
Now, I don't know
this
what
is
that
the real
was.
Show. Oh, my God.
But anyway, come on. There you go. All right. So now you can see all the comments and everything right there. A little bit better for you.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. You were on, let's see, I'm trying to get some, all the updates about you for my folk that don't know. You were on 1390 with Sonya Blakely.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. That was so exhilarating. That was exciting for me. You know, I was so pumped, Damien. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make sense. But what I love about this young lady mm-hmm. is, really, I'm saying this again. She like my twin. She is a God octopus.
Okay.
That
okay.
sister, what you all probably don't know is, of course, when Clear Channel has been through some of the major changes economically that they've been through,
mm-hmm.
that means that they need the Sonya Blakeys of the world mm-hmm. to do more than one thing. And yes, she's a director, she's a host, she's all that. But that young lady, while you calling in, case in point, she said, so do you think Pastor Rob is going to call in? And as soon as she mentioned his name, I just went to giggling. She said, I mean, you have not stopped laughing. Well, he calls in
mm-hmm.
and he calls in, he hangs up.
Mm-hmm.
And while she's talking to me, we just generally talking,
right.
You know, you guys can hear us, but we're talking. She's editing.
Right. She has to do everything. Yeah.
She
does not have.
But she does it with so much perfection.
Yeah, she doesn't have an
engineer.
She doesn't have an engineer because they have to pay.
That's correct. Well, that's what she was saying.
They would have to pay.
So there is an engineer up the hall.
Yes.
iHeartRadio, just so y'all know, has several.
All the stations are in that building.
In that building.
When I was there for the Word of the Day segment. I recorded Word of the Day there.
Really?
Yeah. Like
oh, my God. I think I heard it too, Dana. But, yeah, so they have several rooms. And, of course, y'all, they sat me in this room before I was able to get in with her. Mm-hmm. And all I kept saying was, look, it was all this type of stuff set up like Dana has. And I was like, I wonder if I touch something.
I'm so glad you did.
And, of course, so going there with her, she is absolutely amazing. What she couldn't believe, though, is – we kind of had been missing each other. She's so busy.
Yeah.
I actually got a chance to meet her one-on-one at the First Ladies Health Initiative at the Drake Hotel. You know when all the First Ladies met in May?
Back,
June.
Yeah, back
yeah.
all the yeah, you
all,
did. I remember
yeah.
that. I remember that.
And so, of course, and that's another story altogether. But, of course, I was able to meet her, and she said, oh, my God, you're the one that Lady Gloria had been talking to us about. I said, yeah. So we
Alfred.
Alfred.
Yeah.
Alfred, uh-huh. Yeah. She, by the way, she makes this Lady Glow's Delights Oh my God. Anyway, so she's able to, I was able to meet Sonia. So when I get in there, she says, so how's the event coming along? And I told her it is sold out, but mm-hmm. if you send people over there, we're going to take them. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we think we had extra because,
right,
of course, they
hold
us,
right,
heard
right.
us on 1390. Right. But amazing, amazing 1390. I enjoyed the fact. Let me tell you something that I thought was very unique.
What's that?
Something that never, ever happens. Do you remember back in the day, Dana, when radio was going on, another station mm-hmm. did not. First of all, you and I are mm-hmm. breaking. We're making history.
Mm-hmm.
We made history this year. I don't
mm-hmm.
even know when I started coming
right.
here last year, right?
Right.
So we made history, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally another station,
does
another
not.
Host,
right.
does not go in and talk about their station.
Right.
But when I told, she said, I want you to talk to me just a little bit
mm-hmm.
when we go back on the air about
one
sister
to
another.
Right.
I say, hold on. I said, you want me to talk about One Sister to Another, Intellectual Radio, iHeartRadio? She said, yes, I do. I want you to talk to me about One Sister to Another, iHeartRadio.
I think it was because it was iHeartRadio. It had the connection.
Yeah.
Because
that could be.
I was, when I did Word of the Day,
okay.
I was not allowed to say, taking the limits off radio.
Really?
Yeah. I did the Word of the Day, so I was just, I can introduce myself as Minister Dana King
yeah.
from Kingdom Missionary Baptist
okay.
Church. Because
okay.
my original, what I written
wow.
down for myself was, Minister Danny King, host Take Limits Off Radio, and then King About the Church, and she was like, pause. You can't do that.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. Wow. So, but I understood.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I think because of the iHeartRadio connection is why
yeah.
she was comfortable with you
yeah.
being able to do
yeah.
that. So,
yeah, very much.
Yeah. But
and,
she's very professional. I didn't get a chance
so
to.
Professional.
I didn't get a chance to meet her. She hosted, she was the host out at Aurora.
And you didn't
yeah.
have a chance to meet her?
Well, I didn't get to go backstage. We were, I was, because I wanted to be out where the people
well,
were from the, you know, we gave away tickets
yeah,
and
yeah.
they had all that stuff happening. So,
wow.
but she didn't realize. So we sitting in the audience, and she was her and Pastor Spencer. Of Maine Baptist, they were on stage. It was in between segments or whatever. So they were talking about the different people in the church. So she started going around. She said, how many ushers we got in the audience? So, you know, people
oh,
raising their hands
so cool.
and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were going around. So she's like, well, okay, well, what about the deacons? So, like, it was only a handful of people that actually sent it. She said, all these folks got you saying ain't number two or three deacons. So I'm sitting there. So, you know, I'm dressed like
yeah.
I dress.
Yeah.
But all I had on a blue jacket with a shirt and some white polo jeans. I'm chilling, minding my own business. She was like, wait a minute, what about him right there? I know he a deacon. He got to be a deacon. Look at him. Stand up. You in the blue jacket.
No. Oh, my God.
So I instantly text Pastor Spencer because I said, when he go backstage, he's going to
see
this. So she didn't say anything. So then she hit me on Instagram. She was like, I did not know that was you. I was like, yeah, okay, Sonia, it's
yeah,
all good.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
It was fun. It
she
was good.
Probably
it was,
didn't see from all the way up there.
No, it was good. But she is. She's very professional.
Very.
I was a little skeptical when Effie left. You
now,
know.
You know, that's my girl.
I know.
She supports everything I do.
And
I love.
Yeah.
Effie is going on to, one of our aunts died, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we give a shout out to you today, Effie.
Mm-hmm.
Effie. I used to want to get, when Intellectual first started, I used to want to get Effie Roth. See, and Earl doesn't mind me. I tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get Effie to come and help us with radio etiquette. When
mm-hmm.
I tell you that woman to notice she's from some part of Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Effie wrote a book, Dana, I love this woman so much. Anywhere I used to go 2 summers ago, I wanted her to go with me, and she would go. Just, you know, she wrote this book. I forgot the name of the book right now. I think it's Supersize Your Faith or something.
Okay.
But just a bad woman in the Holy Ghost. So I just, Effie is the bomb.com. Which brings me to,
uh-oh.
Effie actually hosted Samuel Blake's and R.C. Blake's, those two brothers, at Urban.
So that's what I'm glad you went there. So talk about that, because you have an upcoming event in, what, 2 weeks?
Ready. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. It's next week.
Next week. It's the 10th.
Yep, September 10th.
Okay.
We are going to be doing our anniversary. We're going to be celebrating 10 years, my husband and I, on September the 16th in Itasca during our first banquet after 10 years, y'all. First banquet. We are still not paid pastors, and we're cool with that. We love giving it back to our communities. And so my husband and I are still working full-time jobs. Come on here. I'm not back at work yet, but I am still on the roll at a full-time. Yeah, I'm still collecting the check. Come on here. Somebody give God the glory when you gave 29 years of your
won't
life.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Won't he will? So after 10 years, we're doing a banquet on September 16th. But can somebody say September 10th is our pre-annual? And Dana, whereas, okay, pre-annuals are normally the week before the annual. And I thought to flip the script on that thing. I love seeing people smile. And so I said we were going to flip the script, and we were going to service or honor the leaders of our own house, people that run alongside us, and other leaders who would show up that day, whether you're the leader of an organization, you're the leader of your own company, CEO, whatever, CFO, don't matter to us, come and we're going to bless you that day with our speaker, who is R.C. Blakes Jr. Did y'all hear what I just said? He is coming to Chicago, and he's been here. His daughter goes to school at either Columbia or one of those. His daughter goes to school in Chicago, so he comes quite often, he and First Lady Lisa Blakes, but he's coming. He is the proud author of the latest book, anyway, is Queenology. Every woman is a queen. She just probably has not discovered it yet. And also, Wisdom for Women in Ministry. He wrote those books. And so, of course, he's coming. He's our guest speaker. He's coming in from New Orleans, Louisiana. But he also lives, y'all, in Houston, Texas. So his wife and his son were able to get to higher ground because, of course, of the flooding. And I know we're going to talk
We're going to jump right in. I wanted to get to that.
September 10th. I want to just throw in there that we're hoping that you guys are going to be able to come. Our address is Greater Love, Greater Works Outreach International, National 17 West, 620 Reardon, Villa Park, Illinois. And of course, that zip code is going to be 60181. 60181. All of this is right there on my backdrop of my Facebook page, Angela L. Johnson. If you want to know any other information, all you got to do is inbox me. Would love to be able to share that with you. But one of the other treats is if you come, we are going to be having dinner right after church. And R.C. Blakes, Bishop Blakes, is going to be signing his latest books and some other books. They're coming in right after church. So you're going to be able to purchase the book, and he's going to sign it for you. So all of you all that are out there, he is expecting all of his sons and daughters who are here in Chicago and surrounding areas to get to Great Love, Great Works Outreach International. September 10th, 11:30. We're not going any longer than we normally go. 11:30 service. And then, of course, we're going to be serving dinner. He's going to do some signing of some books.
Hey, man.
We're
excited. Sounds good. That sounds good. I like the way that sounds. That's going to be some.
Hey, David Rogers.
That's going to be some good stuff. That's going to be some good stuff. Real quick, I do want to make this real quick announcement. I got to give him a shout out to my boy here. You Chill, We Grill. Y'all don't know who that is. Those are the people who they did our picnic for us for the last 2 years. Amazing brothers. Look, they are going to be in a contest next Saturday. Next Saturday, they're going to be at a contest out in Forest Park.
You Chill.
Kevin Page and the crew, they're going to be out in a contest in Forest Park. It's the Forest Park Rib Fest.
Oh, my God.
And so they're asking all of the grillers to come out. That's on next Saturday. Starting at 11 a.m., I believe it is, but it's in Forest Park, and you can come out there and you can cheer them on. Let me tell you right now, them boys can cook. I'm just going to put that for real. And look, I don't tell people, I don't say folks can cook and they can't.
And they can't cook.
I ain't going to never send you off.
So they did good on
the rib. I will warn you if you can't cook. And y'all know I have no problem with calling folks names out.
That's good, Dana.
Who can't cook. But these boys, these big fellas right here, you see that big monster right there? That grill.
Oh my God!
Yeah, they pull that bad boy up to your spot on the back of a trailer, and it's got his own wheels on it.
I love that.
And they come out and they do the work. So I'm gonna tell y'all right now.
Wow.
So come out and support them. That's gonna be in Forest Park. What did I just do with this thing? In Forest Park, Illinois. That's gonna be next Saturday. I'll give you more details next week on that. But I think it'll be a good time. I don't know what the cost is. I'll find all that stuff out. Make sure I get the right
information. That's going to be really, really
nice.
It's
going to be good, man. It's a local event. And I think everybody will be happy with it. So, look, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit more conversation. I'm going to ask Angela about this whole Joel Osteen. We ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on it.
God.
But we're going to talk about that and Houston. And I want to get a different perspective on stuff, and I'm glad David Rogers is on.
That's good.
David, you stick around for a few minutes, man, because I got a couple questions for you. But we're going to take a quick break, y'all, while I figure out what I just did to this microphone over here. And we'll see y'all in a few minutes, man. TTLO. Peace. Y'all, we are back. Well, I'm in the studio, got my twin in the house, sister, the one, Pastor Angela Johnson is here, and we've been talking. you know, I know. I don't mind calling people their titles and whatever. You've never said, you've never asked me to. You have some people, and we've had conversations on about female pastors and all that stuff. And I know some female ministers who are real staunch about making sure you call them reverend.
Are you serious?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't even like the term. Right, I don't even like the term reverend. I don't. I've never liked it. Since I answered the call, I've never liked the term.
Yeah.
Because it does not. Because I don't believe. And the Bible says as well. I don't believe we ought to hold anybody in reverence other than God.
Okay, I got it.
So, I said this before. I said it like a couple of days ago. You know, I know what ministers do.
Yeah.
You know, you can show me how to minister. I can show you how to minister. I know what pastors do. They pastor. You're pastoring
and
folks.
Lead.
You're leading,
yeah,
and shepherding and all that
stuff.
I know what missionaries do. So
you
if
know,
they call
what they
you,
used to call the women, right?
So if they call you missionary, if they call you evangelist, if they call you prophetess, those things all describe, they should describe what you do. Somebody please tell me, what does reverend describe?
But you know
how
what?
Do you reverend?
It's so funny, y'all. This is the unorthodox show at the beginning anyway.
Uh-huh.
Dana, could you please tell me why is it? Now, Apostle Rogers, I hope you listen.
Come on.
Can y'all please tell me why does every apostle have to have a first lady that's a prophetess? That woman ain't prophesying nothing. Huh?
I don't know.
Can y'all tell me that? Why does the apostle... Apostle David Rogers, and you truly, truly, I love you for what you do and the fact that you actually walk in the vocation with you've been called. But can y'all tell me, why does the prophetess have to be a part of, why does the woman of God who's married to the apostle have to be the prophetess? Everybody I've seen get ordained as an apostle,
uh-huh,
his wife gets ordained as a prophet, and you ain't prophesying none. Let me tell you something. First of all, I wouldn't let nobody just put no any and every name on me, you know. And can
I
tell you all something?
I don't understand.
I have quite a few gifts, and I could care less. This is what I want y'all to call me. Call me Angela. Don't call me late for dinner. Here's my thing, Dana. What people are not realizing, see, we're living in a different culture now. Everybody wants to be part of the bling bling and the you know, the St. John suits. But at the end of the day, what God ministered to my soul was, as many titles as you have, that's how much more you should serve.
And that's how much more accountable he's going to hold
Come
you.
Come on here. Huh? Sip, sip, and drink
you,
on that.
You walking around with all these titles.
David Rogers, say thank you.
Yeah, you walking around with all these titles.
That's all I'm saying.
That's more responsibility and accountability.
More responsibility and accountability.
You went from preacher to pastor.
Come on.
To bishop.
Come on.
To apostle, to cardinal, whatever, all these different titles. And I'm not talking about those of you who are rightfully in your spot.
We're not tripping.
You know, I got great admiration for my brother Apostle Rogers and for my brother Prophet Cornelius Williams and some of the other ones. But everybody with these bishop titles and all this other kind of stuff, you're going to have to give an account, bishop.
Okay. Huh?
You know, you're just like us, preachers and pastors and all that other stuff. We have to give an account. Okay, I called you. What did you do with the calling? What did you do with the gift?
What did you do?
Now, you self-appointed bishops, I guess you ain't got nothing to worry about.
And self-appointed apostles.
Well, if God didn't call you, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
He ain't going to hold you accountable for you not.
He sure. But if God didn't call you, baby's kids are going to send you back. You ain't got to worry.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, I wanted to ask this question, and I know my brother is going to call in shortly, Apostle Rogers. When you do call in, sir, push one so I know that you and I will get you in on this. So the whole controversy right now, and we're still praying, absolutely, we're grateful for what's going on for the people in Houston.
Yes, yes.
So much tragedies.
So much.
And now what's so crazy is certain areas are drying up. I was watching this morning. Certain areas are drying up. Other areas are still flooding.
And
other areas are on the verge of more flooding
because
the river is right. The river has not crested yet.
Yes.
So, but I want to ask this question. Apostle, I see you. I'm going to get you in there in 1 minute. Just stay right there. Here's my question. So we had this whole, I want to say it was social media forced controversy.
Yeah, it really was forced.
I want to say it was social media forced controversy about Joel Osteen and him not opening up the Lakewood Church. We've now heard several different sides of it, and I tend to go with what the actual news reported versus what Facebook and Twitter and all these other folks.
Do you see my face?
Reported. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I think the people who had to ask, everybody has an axe to grind with Joel Osteen. I get that. He is a wonderful motivational speaker, and I'm going to leave it at that. I ain't going no further with it. Here's my question. We're pouring, they said the Red Cross, ABC raised
$3 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Channel 7 locally raised like 10 or 5, 7 yesterday.
Can't you believe
locally.
That, Dana?
And it's all being donated to the Red Cross.
Wow.
All that money is going down there to the Red Cross.
I get nervous.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Here we go. And my brother David Apostle Rogers, and this is why I want to broach this subject real quick. And we got 11 minutes to spend on it. 11 minutes, and then we're gonna jump on into this. Apostle Rogers, are you on, man? Can we hear you?
Grace and peace, man of God, and my sister, Pastor Angela Johnson. God bless you.
Hey, we love you.
I need to figure out how to turn his volume up,
yeah,
son. But
yeah.
We gonna
love
get your
you
volume
too.
Turned up. I think I need to turn it up on my end. But here's my question. While we're pouring, and absolutely they need the funds, they need the help, they need the resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even an argument.
Right.
There's a flip side argument that says there are homeless, hungry adults and children here in the city of Chicago. If we can raise money in the millions.
In the millions.
Because of a natural disaster.
In hours.
Right. How come we can't do the same thing locally for a disaster that was man-made?
Wow.
And put those resources back into the areas where it's needed. I saw Apostle Rogers put something up on his post. Apostle, you go first, and then sister, you chime in. Apostle Rogers, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, man, I normally would say something real long. I'm just going to make it short and sweet. We live in Chicago, Illinois. We've got 25,000 homeless teenagers.
We've got over
135,000 homeless families. So for people to take to Facebook and Twitter and social media, Instagram, to belabor, demean, and demonize the ministry of Pastor Joel Osteen, I sit on the board for You Can Make It Incorporated. It's a homeless shelter in Inglewood. We have two facilities with 120 beds. I want you to email us your name so we can start bringing homeless people to your house tonight. Because these people, no,
oh
because see, they want to try to destroy Joel Osteen because he's an easy target. He's the largest church in America. Most of the people that are arguing about his seeming lack of response have never been in a catastrophic area. They have no idea what is going on the ground, and so they use social media to try to puff themselves up as some expert on natural catastrophes. The reason, and I want to go to the issue you had so I can be quiet. You asked a question. You said, why can't we raise money for the homeless we have in every major city in America? The word is not can't. The word is we won't.
We won't. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
won't.
Wow.
The weekend of the catastrophe, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor made almost $500 million in a boxing match.
Yes, they did.
So the fact is we have money, but we choose to do that deal. All of the people that's complaining on social media about Joel Osteen own an $800 cell phone. Now, our shelter in Inglewood, You Can Make It Incorporated, is underfunded. We got 120 beds. We've got a men's shelter. We got a shelter for women and children. We put out information on Facebook. Hey, fund our homeless shelter. These
mm-hmm.
are babies sleeping in cars, sleeping in boxes, in Vidocs. Our people won't respond. But now all of a sudden a hurricane hits somewhere, and now everybody's benevolent and full of generosity. It's fake. The motivation is off. People are demonized, and they really need salvation. And you know where you can find me if you have a problem with anything that I said. Our work has been going on for 17 years. We've been in Chicago. Y'all know I've been crying about homelessness in Chicago.
Come on, can't get a nickel.
8 years. On social media, and we can't get a person to volunteer 5 minutes, but you're talking about Joel Osteen. We can't get parents to come to these Chicago public schools where our kids are getting shot. We can't find black business people to invest in our community, but y'all want to talk about Joel Osteen. I don't want to hear about Joel Osteen. I want to know and I want to see what you're doing to help our communities in urban America. Show us what you're doing or shut up.
Wow.
I totally concur.
I wanted to bring you aboard for this, Apostle Rogers. I know, and I appreciate you. I know you had a busy morning. I know you were supposed to have a meeting or something earlier. So I appreciate you, man, for that. Let me ask you this, and Sister Johnson, you please jump in. Where do we? And I know it's kind of general, and it's kind of a large question for you all just to tackle, but how do we light a fire under our own people and not just us, because it ain't just us sending money to Houston, it's the world.
Right. That's right.
How do we light a fire locally, nationally, to actually tackle the homeless issue?
You don't. This is the whole thing. If it's not in your heart, it don't matter what we say.
That's the truth.
It don't matter what we do.
That's the truth.
This is the whole issue with the body of Christ. This is the whole issue with community activism. Everything is disconnected from the heart. How can you sleep at night? We live in Chicago. In a few short months, it's going to be 30 below zero. Now, everybody's arguing about Joel Osteen. But we got 130,000 families that's sleeping in 32 below zero weather, and you ain't opened up your basement to nab family. You ain't opened up your church to nab family.
That's
you won't
truth.
Get in your truck. You won't go out. We got Apostle Gerald Norwood. I want to applaud this man of God. This man don't want no attention. He's not looking to be famous. But him and his team get in vans, and they take hot chocolate and hot coffee and tea to cold, shivering people. They take blankets. They take coats. They take gloves. This is every winter they've been doing this for 12 years with no money. They can't get nobody in Chicago to give them $100. But we got cell phones. We got T-Mobile. We got all kind of weird stuff we buy, $300 weaves. We got all of this stuff. But we'll watch children starve to death under a Vidoc, and then we'll argue about what Joel Osteen ain't doing.
Yeah.
Hold yourself accountable to the same standards you hold other people to. I don't
talk
about what I don't do. I can take you and show you what I do, and I've been doing for 20 years. So we need people to put up and not shut up. If it ain't in their heart, man of God, it don't matter what you show them. It don't matter what you tell them. We get 100 kids shot a week. We can't even get preachers to step outside their church and minister outside their church.
Come on,
social media acting like you so concerned about Houston and
like
kids in Chicago are being murdered every single day.
Yeah.
It's confusing. So no, I ain't lighting no fire. Go somewhere and shut up and sit down. We don't want to hear from you. We want to find out who loves people for real, who loves God for real, and is willing to invest time, talent, and treasure in making our city
better. That's amazing.
Once again, y'all, that's why I had to have him chime in real quick.
It's the apostle.
Apostle David Rogers.
I'm doubly nipping up in there. I'm a member of his church, too.
Hey, man, look. I appreciate you. Thank you for giving me a few minutes, man.
Thank you, Apostle Rogers.
And tell the folks what was on your heart. Hey, do me a favor. On the Facebook link, the live feed, put the link up, man. Feel free to put the link up.
Yeah.
Seriously. Link in there for that shelter.
Hey, let me say this.
Go ahead.
This Tuesday from 12 to 2 p.m., our church is hosting the Texas Aid Strategic Planning Relief meeting.
Okay.
So this Tuesday from 12 to 2 p.m. at the House of Prayer for All Nations, 11304 South Edbrook in Roseland, we'll be hosting a conglomerate of pastors, community activists, and community leaders who are coming together to develop our strategic plan on helping Houston. This situation down in Texas is going to be longer than a day to help.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're planning for maybe 5 years of support that needs to go into the southeast region of Texas.
Yeah.
You don't get over this in a week or 2 weeks. So while everybody's clamoring and yelling and stuff now, they're estimating almost 1 million people have lost their homes, 1 million people have lost their jobs. And so we have to, those of us who are not hurting, we need to be support to those who are hurting. So this Tuesday, next week, Tuesday, from 12 to 2 p.m., the House of Prayer for All Nations, 11304 South Edbrook, we are going to be hosting our strategic planning meeting for our Texas Aid Relief. So
Apostle
anybody
Rogers,
that wants to come, They can come, anybody around the country that wants to be a part of it. If you inbox me, I'll give you, we're creating a specific Facebook page. Yeah. We're going to go Facebook Live, and then we're going to use all of our collective energy, efforts, and intelligence on how to be a blessing to the southeast region of Texas. We cannot let our people just suffer, and then we just sitting up here doing nothing.
Do you have a I like the term flyer, but do you have a flyer or anything ready that you can send?
It'll be ready today, so I'll email
okay.
it to you.
Send, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then y'all can
send it
put
to
it up
me.
In
me
your
too,
church
please.
Or on your Facebook
okay.
page,
yeah,
whatever y'all want
to
do.
Send it to me. Also, but put the link up for your Chicago shelter, though. Seriously, put that up, man. Put that up
I'll
on there.
Put it up right now.
Put that up there now. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, brother.
You know,
I love
only,
y'all.
All right, love
you
too,
you
man.
Too.
Appreciate you.
Not only is he going to be doing something, I think he said he's going to be kicking it off.
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. But also, I was out. I don't know if – I know I thought I saw you chime in,
mm-hmm.
but Pastor Storrs Jr., Clarence Storrs Jr.
I missed
Jr.
it. Yeah,
okay.
I came in on the, on the
he's
tail
gonna,
end.
Actually, I went out here right now, and I mm-hmm. I actually invited him to the show mm-hmm. and just asked him if he could put that information up because there are going to be drop-offs. I believe they started on yesterday. But he was saying the first phase is – more than anything else, Houston needs water.
They do. They're in a situation where I saw this morning where some of the rescuers were injured because they were out on a boat and the power lines are down.
Yeah.
So they say they're drifting towards a house to try to help somebody. And all of a sudden, because these boats are metal, some of these boats are metal, all of a sudden they're being electrocuted in the boat. So they showed these guys in the hospital this morning. How they survived, I don't know.
Wow.
But, like, literally, he says they jumped out of the boat into the water where the power lines were, but they had to do something because
oh
they felt
God.
Their inside.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
I'm like, what in the world? So, and then all the disease in the water.
Absolutely.
So
alligators.
Even after the
snakes.
Water, even after the water recedes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If all the water dries up tomorrow, this issue won't be fixed, like Apostle Roger said, for the next 5 to 7 years.
Absolutely.
Look at New Orleans. They're still recovering.
They are. One of the young girls that you see, I think you were talking about this the other day, one mm-hmm. of the young girls who were on the roof with about 30 other people.
Yeah, on Good Morning America.
She came from New Orleans.
You left, you survived the Katrina.
Yeah, yeah.
Only to have Harvey. My God, yeah.
My issue, though, Dana,
yes.
is, you know, and of course we get to kind of hit at mm-hmm. The Joel Osteen situation mm-hmm. just for maybe 10 seconds.
Go ahead.
But my issue, too, is going to be, I have such an iffy mindset about Red Cross and some of the other organizations. I just do.
Friend of the show, one of my mentors, Pastor Keith Gordon, out in Body of Christ, Love of Christ Church. I'm sorry, Love of Christ Church, on the South Side of Chicago. He posted a link, and it's actually the same link that I posted a few years ago. I believe it was right after Hurricane.
Katrina.
It was after Sandy.
Okay.
I think it was after Sandy because I was in Hurricane Sandy. I was in Jamaica when Hurricane Sandy hit the Caribbean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but he put this post up, and it's actually the same thing that I shared a few years back about Hurricane giving money to these different organizations.
Any organization.
And it says how the Red Cross spent $500 million to build 6 houses. There and it gives you. There's a couple of websites. I think Latanya, if you can, you can put that back up there. It gives you where these places have so much overhead because we got to pay the CEO, we got to pay the president, we got to pay all of these people.
You see what I'm saying?
And by the time we get to paying all these people, the money, so you're better off giving directly to. You're making a connection, just like we did, like the churches here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Big shout out to the Leadership Network for that.
Come on.
When they took that water, when stuff happened in Flint.
Yeah. Clarence Storrs and
he
another
was a part
group
of, that group
of folks are getting ready to get water and
so
other items ready.
I think it's the same group with the Leadership Network that he's a part of.
Yeah.
They took water directly there.
That's right.
Versus donating money to said different organizations. When we did our gathering for water. Latanya got in contact. We called people via Facebook.
Come on,
and we found people who said, look, bring the water over here where we are.
Right.
And we took eight tons of water.
Absolutely,
my God.
Absolutely.
We took that 8 tons of water up there. And the place that we originally were going to take the water to, it was too difficult. We had no help, first of all.
Wow.
It was me, Michael Henderson, and Devon, and Latanya.
Wow.
So we go down there, or up there, rather, to deliver this water. the church that we were partnering with, he didn't have no help for us
to
get the water off the truck. So we took what we could take off. And then Michael Henderson, y'all bless the Lord for Michael Henderson. Michael Henderson said, look, man, tell me where the projects is in Flint.
Because
we can go there.
We can go give it away.
And the man was like, well, I don't know if y'all want to go. I'm like, man, look, we from Chicago. Everybody's getting no projects.
That's right. And these people
so
need water.
He said, well, I can tell you where all the people are right now in Flint. He said, it's at this tavern around on such and such, such and such. Drive, we following you. And we pulled up, and them folks came out the tavern.
Wow.
And came and got that water off the back of our truck and packed it up in their car.
Wow.
So you're better off connecting with somebody locally.
Yeah.
And even if it's just getting your money together and putting it on a large Visa gift card.
Come on.
And putting it in the hands of somebody that's actually down there doing the work.
I'm sorry, but I agree.
And it's nothing against the American Red Cross or the Salvation Army and all those places. But it's too many hands touching the money before it gets to the people that actually need the doggone money.
That's it.
I'm hungry. I got to wait for you to pay John, Peter, James, and everybody else. And by the time you get to me, you can't give me nothing but a sandwich.
Do you remember Keith Butler?
Yeah, used to be at Mars Hill.
Keith Butler is in Houston.
Yeah.
His family is in Houston. Cedric Ford.
Yes.
He's in Houston.
Right.
So
me and Cedric and his brother Red, we all went to Austin together. Cedric was a little year before me.
My cousin Kirk is in Houston. Monica Roberts is in Houston, and it crushed my little heart when she told me that her dad wouldn't immediately get ready to leave, so she had to really encourage him a little bit more. Then her brother found shelter in a Caucasian woman's house. Dad came home and saw this 15-year-old young boy sleeping on his couch. What is he doing here? Now, there's a flood out there.
Right.
He made the young man get up and leave, which really disturbed me, but that's okay.
Wow.
Somebody picked him up. But the bottom line is, I totally agree. Dana.
Yeah.
I would rather get with the Keith Butlers and the Cedrics of the world. I mean, really, and make sure that if we can supply water, food, and some Visa gift cards to that five families.
If you can put some a Visa gift card, even if these folks still got to stay in the shelter.
Come on.
At least get up, take their kids, go somewhere and get something to eat. At least they can eat out for a couple of days, depending on how long they have to be in the shelter, because you don't know what they have to go back to. They're just now starting to sporadically let a few families back into the area.
Absolutely.
But some of these folks left their places with no ID. You ain't got no ID. The police ain't letting you back in the neighborhood because of looters. Because you got the fools. I'm going to talk about some of y'all's cousins.
Come on.
Y'all out there trying to rob folk in the middle of the dang on flood.
I couldn't even believe
it. But that's how folks do.
Y'all
know better. But see, they take it as an opportunity,
to
feed on some folks.
Absolutely.
Just pure ignorance.
But you know what? I gotta say this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if someone asks the question to me, okay, what's your spin or your spiel on Joel Osteen?
Yes.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say it just like this.
Please.
I totally understand the people who went off.
Mm. Okay.
I totally understand the people who wanted to go off on those people as well.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, this is what my Facebook post, one of my posts said. At the end of the day, love covers a multitude of faults.
Uh-huh.
Right, folks? Don't love cover when our own brothers and sisters mess up? Let me tell y'all something. My daddy did not care some days when he walked in there and some of his glasses were broke. He whooped every tail in the house. And guess what? He never apologized. Because you wouldn't tell who did it, right? And so why am I saying that? I'm saying that because God bless Apostle Rogers and all the rest of them who feel like, okay, you all that are not doing anything, you need to just sit down and shut up. I totally agree with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But me being a mom, Dana, maybe my position is a little different. Me being a mom, you know, anytime you give your opinion about something, the first thing somebody else says, you know what, you preachers, you judge. I'm not judging nothing. What I will say is this. The only thing we know about Mr. Osteen is what he puts out there. When you have how many seats does that church seat?
About 15,000.
Baby, that could be Pastor Rob and I. If I've got how many seats again?
15,000.
15,000 seats. And something jumped off in Chicago, and myself and Pastor Rob didn't call any of you all to say, hey, Dana, I know this is only about 20, 25 minutes from the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's flooding on the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the western suburbs on Summit Avenue on Reardon, it's not flooded. Can we get – we got an upstairs
area
never used. Y'all can put some sleeping bags in there. I tell you what, we're not going to collect any offerings this Sunday because for the next probably month of Sundays, come on, real ministry is going to be taking place down through the aisles because we need to put those people up. We got to do what we got to do.
I agree with you 100%. My issue with it was people got mad before they knew the fact.
Okay. Totally understood.
And the fact is
there was a news report out who didn't want to really hear what, as a matter of fact,
right.
What's the young man on Good Morning America? Dark hair.
The regular guy.
One of the regular guys. Anyway, he interviewed him, and I'm just gonna. It didn't go well with me.
Here is my deal. I don't care about what my deal was. This, according to news reports, according to what the city of Houston's the mayor said.
Okay.
According to that place was supposed to be a secondary option, not a first option.
Okay.
Because. For one, it used to be a basketball arena, meaning they had locker rooms and all that stuff, right? Okay,
right.
People thinking, oh, great. When they bought it, they changed all of that. So they don't have 30 showers in this locker room and 30 showers in that locker room.
So it wouldn't serve?
Not initially, no.
Okay.
And then the place has a history of flooding during storms.
Okay.
Because if you look at the place, and you ever watch, and don't say y'all I never watched it.
Yeah.
His platform is down low.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so before they built flood walls a few years ago, his place got flooded.
Right.
So and if you see the pictures that were posted, people talking about them was Photoshop. They were not. When you see the picture, the flood wall was here and the water was here. So it was like a little bit more and that's coming over and now it's a wrap. So if you had people in the building and that happens, now they lost their opportunity to get to a shelter where they could have been safer.
Yeah.
So he took it, and then here's the other deal. If you got a 15,000 seat arena, you and Pastor Rob by yourself can't open that place.
That's right. We need a staff.
You need your staff to be able to get there.
We need a couple of churches.
Wait a minute. You need your staff to be able to get there.
Yeah.
Well, all your staff live in Houston.
Right.
Your house flooded.
That's
you think I'm
said.
Thinking about Lakewood Church?
He did say that.
You think I'm gonna tell you? Can I be honest and real with y'all?
He did say
if
that.
If I'm in Chicago. Let me be 100% real with y'all right now. And I don't care who listening. I know y'all. I know my spies is on. It's all good. Bless the Lord for y'all. If I'm at home in my house and the city of Chicago is flooding and the streets are flooded and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to live and my peoples is going to live and all this other stuff. And y'all, they tell me, well, you know, down at the church, you think I'm thinking about the church house and I can't get nowhere? Or my family is stuck on the other side of town. I don't even know where my mama at. My mama on the other side. Come on, man, look here. I think about no church.
But you know what else I think it was, though, too? And I think this is going to just take us on home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what he did.
Yeah.
It's what he said. So
yeah.
What I would suggest is that just next time, because the news report asked him, well, did you learn anything from this?
Yeah.
And initially he was like,
yeah.
In other words, all I could see in Joel Osteen's head was, Joker, what you mean did I learn? Did you learn anything? Yeah, I learned to stay on in my $10 million crib and let y'all figure it out till I can figure it out. But that it wasn't that. I'm tripping. But what it is, I think just, you know what? If you don't have anything, I mean, if you know what you say.
It was handled poorly.
Right, that's all.
It was handled poorly.
And his brother-in-law. Lord, have mercy on you.
Yeah.
Joel, I'd rather hear you talk than your brother. Your brother-in-law was doing all that fast talk. Every time he opened his mouth, I was doing this toward the TV. Just sit down and shut up. But God is good.
The people are there. They put beds on the second floor. They got all that stuff. But again, it's not a full shelter.
So they're not going to have church, son?
People don't have. Oh, they're going to have. Oh, I don't know. They're going to have church.
Huh? You think they're going to miss them all? Go to
joelosteen.com on Sunday and see if the service goes
forward. Yeah, they're having church.
Well, John Gray couldn't get there. That's his assistant pastor, John Gray, the comedian / pastor.
Are you serious?
Yeah, John Gray is the assistant pastor of Lakewood Church.
Joel Osteen?
He sure is.
He used to be Israel Hovland.
Israel was
the praise and worship.
And I believe still is his minister.
No, he got set down.
No, I thought he got came back.
Oh, really?
I thought he
might have, but
I think he removed himself. I don't think he got sat down. I believe, if I remember reading it correctly, we talked about it.
I thought I saw two versions.
Okay,
but
I think
he's
back.
Either way. Hey, and you know what my mama said? The same little deal. You know when, you know, one of the other females and her husband, one of the bishops, broke up. And by the way, mom. But anyway, my mom said, as long as everybody repents,
right,
he'll restore it.
Absolutely.
He'll restore you, and you'll be able to go on and get you another husband, wife, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, but I don't want to be married to nobody else but Rob.
Oh,
hey,
Lord.
Rob.
Here we go. He on the line, too. He popped in there.
Where he at? Pastor Rob, where you at?
He said he was watching. He didn't say nothing.
Okay, all right then,
but
Rob.
But he said he was watching.
Can you say something, Rob?
Look,
hey, Sheridan.
So look, we got about 15 minutes. We can get through this. We can get through this. I want to talk about this real quick.
There it is.
What'd she say?
She say Israel got sat down like you do in a black church. That's right.
You know
they
what?
Don't do that. All right. That's true. Sherry, that's so true.
Let me pull
that
this thing
so
up over
it
here
is.
For
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Okay. So we go look.
Yeah, we gonna move right on.
We moving on. And so y'all know he don't have no black art on none of this stuff around here. But we got a black gnat that keeps tormenting us.
Man,
huh?
It won't die. Won't die.
That gnat must be from Egypt.
I'm done.
He's part of the plague.
I'm done.
Because this man been dealing with this same gnat for about a week.
I was trying to kill this gnat Monday. I believe I was trying to kill him last Friday.
Oh, my.
If I am mistaken. I believe I was. So anyway, y'all, we got this really good article. We're gonna jump into it. It is Praise Break Friday, so we always try to keep it something to deal with worship, with something to do with worship. So today's conversation is how to coach your congregation to be worshipers. Yeah, do what you got to do with the screen so you can see it. You
okay,
good?
Cool.
Do I need to make the words bigger, or are you all right? I can make them a little larger for you.
Okay, I'm cool.
You good? All right. So.
I have my glasses.
Where are your glasses in the car?
I lost them. I lost them.
Who loses glasses? You did send me something that said you lost your glasses. Okay. So how to coach your congregation into being worshipers. Let me just read a little bit of this and we're going to jump into it. He says, worship leader, there's more to worship than songs, bands, dynamics, and flow. He says, if we're not careful, we can spend all of our time entertaining people on Sundays. Think about it. The music is excellent, moving, emotional. The worship leader is good looking, uber talented, and runs a tight ship. But slow down. This is more important than you realize. We don't want to foster an audience of spectators or a fan club of consumers. We don't merely want to entertain people every weekend. This isn't the ministry God has called us to, and it doesn't do the gathering together of his bride justice. The church needs to learn how to worship. New converts need to step into the discipline of praise and lifting up their voices, declaring the promises of God. Worship is warfare, and our churches need training. I'm going to pause right there. One of the things that you grew up in the Baptist church, just like me,
yep.
Right? Pastor Rob, Church of God in Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. So obvious parallels. You know, yeah, you know, church is Sunday, that we got in common. Jesus we got in common.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit we got in common. But something about the service was different. Baptist church services have always been stoic. You get somebody to shout every now and then. You get a mother to get happy, but it was never about something was never talked about. And I'll be honest, I can't say that I heard it. Maybe it was said and I was asleep because when I was a kid, maybe,
yeah,
or I just never, heard. You never heard about the presence of God being.
That is so true. That's so true.
But on the Church of God in Christ side,
God
was
just foremost. Showed up. He
yeah.
always showed up.
Move on with Jesus.
Huh?
Let me sit down.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, that was the,
he was always there.
So I'm wondering, and if you ever been to Kojic churches, holiness churches. My God, they don't. You know what I'm saying? It's all day, every day. But those people, like the article saying, have been trained that you don't come here to spectate.
Wow.
How do you feel about? I mean, because you've been a part of praise and worship.
Yeah.
I have, and it's very frustrating.
It was, you know, and I'm gonna tell you something. This is how. Oh my God, this is how sometimes stern in a bad way Baptist church would be.
Because
you know, we were made to go, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how the kids felt about going to the Kojic church, but we were made to go to Baptist church, even when my daddy wouldn't go. Sometimes my daddy would hold on to my brothers and they wouldn't have to go, but my sisters and I had to go to church. But we would get to church, and Dana, I got so tired of listening to the same deacon praying.
Yeah.
I'm better now as God has, you know, kind of grew me up and kind of explained to me that you would rather see him than not see him, because some of those deacons are now going on to be with the Lord. But they would pray, our supervisor would pray, and I could probably do their prayers, mimic them totally.
Oh,
I memorized their prayers.
I know two prayers of two deacons who are no longer with us right now, and I could quote them verbatim right now.
Do you hear what I'm saying? So that was number one. Why is it that you praying the exact same prayer? God ain't did nothing for you lately. The other thing is, do you remember we had devotion? Whereas, now I'm going to tell you, come on, let's tie out now. We had devotion in the Baptist church. We're not cracking. We're just telling you all about how we grew up. But the Kojic church did testimony.
They did pray,
and
right,
I promise you,
right,
that
different.
They would wear me out with that. But I'm going to tell you something that happened to me as a little girl that every little girl should have been through. Every person, every kid ought to have a Miss Cody that lived next door to them.
Okay.
So my dad worked nights. Miss Cody would, you could hear my brothers and I, because my mom would be gone. You get my brothers and I over there cussing up a storm while my dad would be in his sleep. I mean, my dad would be sleeping like a rock. Miss Cody would come over there. We had enough respect for this lady who we knew was sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we called her back in the day. She'd come over there and knock on the door and call you by your full name. Theodore Roosevelt, Angela Lynette, Donna Kay, and we come walking out of there. And my older brother, who is now a pastor, we come walking out of there. And she, Dana, would make us get on our knees in her front room, and she would pray about our tongues. This lady would do this so often, till one day I got a little inquisitive. I say, Miss Cody, will you take me to your church?
Mm-hmm.
She washed her hair for our mom. Too.
Okay.
So would you take me to your church when you get done washing my hair?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, if you want to go. Dana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to her church. I remember this one encounter.
Mm-hmm.
The one time I went to a church, they had the circle and they were getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. So I asked them if they would get me filled. I said, well, I wanted whatever that was the people was coming out of those circles with. So do you know, though, that I got filled? I was fully Baptist, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost at probably the age of 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
Speak in tongue, and God shut my mouth until I was about probably in my late 20s. I don't remember ever speaking again. But when I got saved again, I remember speaking.
Wow.
So I had already had the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I had already had the encounter. But it was amazing. Devotion was in the Baptist church.
Yeah.
Come on. And we look, in the Kojic church, look, anything was a song.
It didn't matter.
Give God some.
Man. It could have been the ABC. And it was just something that was ingrained in them.
Ingrained.
It was part of their DNA.
Yeah.
And now it seems like, and I like what the writer was saying, is like now you have these whole things where now you just come for a show. Praise team, get up and sing it, y'all. You know, you sit back like you at the concert.
Yeah. But I thought that the reason why, now I want y'all, listen. I thought the reason why we created the praise team was because we wanted to get more participation from our audience.
That was the original concept.
But now everybody doing a CD.
But now it's every praise team is about to release a CD. Every praise team.
Where
our CD at? Y'all know we never did release. That's because y'all didn't want me to shine. Y'all didn't want me to get no shine when I was on the team. That's why we ain't had no CD.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
They didn't want me to get no shine.
Yeah.
I'm just playing.
Yeah.
I was in the background. Fine, right there. Just give
Lord,
me my note.
Mercy.
Just give me my note, Danielle.
See,
give me my note.
I directed the choir. I directed all of our choirs, and I led
but
our praise team.
But even when the choirs would sing, the congregation would be like, oh, wait, let me be a part of this. I want to
really
be a part of the worship. Now it's just sing for me, choir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sing for me. Praise team, y'all sing for me. No, this is not a spectator sport.
Absolutely. And they're scared. You know, my husband kind of gets on me because we're still dealing with, okay, so remember what I said earlier about we're not paid pastors. And so I think that decent and in order is if the pastor not get paid, it ought not be nobody getting paid other than secretary who's taking care of business. Anyway,
I might tend to agree.
Okay,
with you.
So that being said, we don't have a musician, Dana. And some people are looking saying, God, I would have never known that. Well, we don't have a musician. I use tracks and live CDs. Did y'all hear what I just said? We got a pipe organ, need somebody to come and play it, but we can't find nobody who's
y'all
really
got a
committed.
Real pipe organ?
We got a real pipe organ at our Evangelical Covenant former church. But so I use live CDs, I use tracks for our worship hour.
Wow.
Check this out. Do you not know that what I'm finding out? My husband doesn't like me to get up there and sing something that the people don't know. But I said, but if we keep going that route, mm-hmm. then we'll never be fresh. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it is hard, Dana. It's hard.
Yeah.
According to what the age of the congregation
yeah.
is, or if they're young. And we're getting a lot of members that are coming from the street.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed by that.
Yeah.
Because they're not trained already. So we're having to teach them, as the writer is saying. We got, well, how do we teach them that? I think that the main focus, even of this writing and what should be our focus as churches,
mm-hmm.
teach people relationship. Teach people
That's
how
it.
To depend on God and not. If I hear people calling out their apostle's name 10 times on something,
mm-hmm.
you already let me know where your focus is. No, teach people how to love on God and depend on Him.
Amen. Let's go. So the writer says this. Can you see that part to read that or no?
Right there where it says, if we're not, no, all the way down here. That's where we're at. Right there. We have a voice.
So it says, we all have a voice, but many don't know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our role. Isn't it worship leaders?
Mm.
It's our role to raise up worshipers,
mm.
to create environments where our voice isn't central. But the unified voice of God's people is.
Mm.
He says we want to lead in such a way that we're not the focus. Mm. The enemy isn't afraid of a worship leader who draws attention to himself. He's not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But he's shaken in fear when a leader gives voice to everyone in the room.
Yeah.
There's tremendous power in that. Nothing can stop a worshiping church, my Lord. No trial, no hardship, no diagnosis, no pain. The sound of worship will rise throughout eternity.
That's
you want
good.
Me to read that
no,
last
that's
part?
Good. You can pause right there.
Wow, wow, wow,
that's
wow,
good.
Wow.
Nothing can stop a worshiping
Nothing
church.
Nothing can stop a worshiping church. I always tell people something I learned. You know, when you have been set in this time, 21st century church, as
mm-hmm.
I've been set,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I was raised to love the Lord, and I didn't always do right by the church or even right by me for that reason. I had to come through my own process. But when you have been raised to truly love the Lord, my husband and I used to be members at Living Word, but we were more, look, I didn't get to do a lot of church services over at Living Word because my husband and I was the only husband and wife team that worked on the prison ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana, when other folk will be in church getting a hee-haw in there, and would be on the road with my husband and about six other guys on our way up to Stateville, or we would be on our way up to Dixon, the all-women prison,
mm-hmm.
and we would be up there doing services for them. Let me tell you this. Whether those people get it,
mm-hmm.
and I want them to have it, but sometimes their minds are boggled down with what they're saying. Angela, Pastor Angie, I'm not getting out today. Whereas I want you to get it, my job is to make sure that I act like it ain't nobody but me and Jesus. Because I know if I'm living right and my worship is for real,
mm-hmm.
That thing going to ignite somebody. And maybe that one somebody, listen, if y'all can understand it this way, maybe you'll only ignite that one somebody. But to me, the one somebody is a full nation, Dana.
Yeah.
If that one somebody get on the phone and say, Mama, I'm in jail. I came up out of my room because I heard this church was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama, they brought the word to us and how to have a real relationship with the Lord. I think that that's really where we should go. That's the worshiping church.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The writer says this, the worship leader as a coach. He says, how is a coach's performance judged? He's not judged by the eloquence of his words. He's not known for his morning routine. He's
wow.
not paid for how good of a football player he was. His performance is judged by only one thing. Is his team winning? If the team is winning, the coach would have a job. Worship leaders, for too long you've been judged by yourself, by the standards of a worship industry, boots, skinny jeans, and trendy haircuts. Cutting edge music, new songs, and epic stage lighting. For too long you've thought only about yourself and your performance. But it's time to think about your team and not just the musicians. The team is your congregation.
Wow.
Ask yourself these questions about your congregation. Are they thriving? Are they singing?
Wow.
Do they love Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Do they worship beyond the song?
That's good.
And are they pressing in?
Wow. Wow, that's good. But let me ask you a question.
Come on.
What if they're not doing that? Because there's some Sundays when, and check this out. And I heard you do another article
mm-hmm.
probably months ago
mm-hmm.
where it talked about, should we be the cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Or how should I cheer?
Yeah.
Or, come on, I get so tired of people threatening me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, back in the day about, you know what? You don't put nothing in, you ain't going to get nothing out. So how do you, Dana, as an elder who loves worship, how do you include them or get them to move beyond?
You have to. It's a teaching thing. I think we did this. We talked about this before with Devon and I some years ago, and even a couple of years ago here. I was teaching our pastor and I had a conversation about what we could do to enhance worship, and I went and I was given this book by Zachary Lavender some years ago, and it was called it's a praise and worship a book on praise and worship by the writer named Bob Sorge, and the book was absolutely amazing. So I started teaching that.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it was having an effect because the worship was starting to change. Because people don't worship because they don't know how.
Wow.
And because they don't know why you lift your hands. They don't know why you lift your hands a certain way. They don't know what that it means. And it's so funny. I've been saying it for years about, you know, the process of lifting your hands in one way means surrender, and another way means you're ready to give or receive. And it falls on deaf ears, but somebody else can come and say, "Oh my God, that's wonderful." It's like, okay, I get it. But it's just amazing to me how much long people have been in church, but don't know how to worship.
But
don't know what it means to worship.
Let me be on the other side of that.
Go ahead.
But also, could my focus at time be on the wrong thing? Because
and that's why.
Know what I learned? Yeah. I learned from going to mm-hmm. being a member of Living Word. Living Word was a multicultural church.
Mm-hmm.
And me going to do some of the other Caucasian conferences,
mm-hmm.
they don't worship the way we do.
No.
Me, when I'm up there singing, if mm-hmm. I get full, oh, my God, you know, I might do a
right.
hallelujah.
Right.
And I might be, oh, I might do some of that. But another sister,
might not.
Right, she might be,
but that's fine.
You may get an ugly face.
But it gives you, and that's not taking away from that worship. I know we got about 3 minutes, so
wow.
we're good. But one of the things.
Invite me when you're rushing me.
Well,
I'm getting full. Look, the Holy Ghost has showed up in this joke.
I got to be an Oak Brook.
Okay, go. You go on my way.
We have to get to a point where people understand what it is, the purpose of that.
That's good.
My mind is on something else, but if you learn what praise and worship is during that time, you got to focus on God.
Wow.
Because if you're still sitting in church and you're focused on what's wrong at home,
wow.
Where is there room for God to operate?
When do you think we should be teaching this?
All the time.
Particularly
new members.
But particularly, we should teach it when. Could that be part of the membership class?
Ask that new membership class. Absolutely.
Membership. Can it be part? You know, we do a chit-chat and chew. We do a chit-chat and chew on Friday. We have our Bible class
absolutely.
On Friday night, and we sit down at a round table. You can bring your chicken right there to
absolutely.
The table with us, and we let you ask and kind of get yourself involved.
Yeah, it's kind of like
talk about
the same thing Prophet Cornelius Wisdom
absolutely.
With Coffee with the Prophet.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Look, y'all, this article is amazing.
My God.
We got to go, though. We got stuff to do. I'm sorry. I know y'all are like, wait a minute. What's going on? I will put the Latanya, do me a favor, get the link to the article, stick it on the Facebook Live, post to everybody so they can have it. It's already on the page, so y'all really.
And I gotta come back because we're not
and
done.
Yeah, she,
I think we gotta
come
go.
Back.
We
will. I mean, we'll come back. Not just about this, but we'll talk about it again. But so, Pastor, can you pray us out, please?
Absolutely, thank positively, you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. We thank you for every listener, every viewer, Lord God. We thank you for TTLO as a whole, God. We thank you for the mission of TTLO, its executive producer, our host, God. We thank you for what you're going to do even after this. Now, God, we thank you for traveling mercies, traveling grace, God, as we go through. We thank you that Sunday morning, we're going to give you the glory like we always do. In Jesus' name, until we meet again, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, we got to go. Y'all remember what I have to say now. You got to drive through these special streets we call Chicago. Please keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. You trying to be funny. TTLO. Bye, y'all.
And you've got to believe in me.